ever wonder why you have so much clutter hanging around your house and why ADHD has anything to do with it? Well, I have the person here who's going to be able to answer that question for us today, Dr. Regina Lark. And I am so excited to hear what she has to tell us and how executive function connects us to our clutter. And who knows where the conversation will go from there. Welcome, Regina.
Thank you, Janine. It's such, I bet you say that a lot. Who knows where the conversation's going to
We never know.
know. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, really. So far, you're a real
Absolutely.
delight.
As are you. So tell me, why, as an ADHD person, Dr. Lark, tell me what it is about my executive functioning that's making me have so much clutter.
It's, one of the things I like about what I've learned about how our brain's wiring impacts our relationship with stuff. It's because it takes the onus off of the head trash. When we when I notice a lot of our clients with ADHD or other executive function challenges, there's a litany of words that they give themselves: lazy, stupid, unmotivated, something's wrong with you. You never finish anything. I mean, there's just the ways in which people tend to just self-denigrate and put themselves down because they don't understand really what's going on. To start with, I always encourage people to get as clear an understanding as you're able of your brain. What do you need? What is it that you want to know about ADHD? You don't even know the questions. That was kind of a silly statement. Join CHAD, Children and Adults with ADD.
Amen.
Incredible resource.
Attitude Magazine as well.
An Attitude magazine, and it's a very, very inexpensive buy-in to be a member. And they also have free resources. So I encourage people to learn as much about ADHD because you're going to read the words a lot, the executive functions. And I'm going to step back and introduce you to Maya the Cave Woman.
And I, well, before we do that, we skimmed right over introduction.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. We put
Now
my
we got to go
website
back and
in.
do that. So after you get done with Maya the Cave
Okay.
Woman, let's go back.
Maya the Cave Woman is much more interesting. So 50,000 years ago, we got Maya the Cave Woman. And Maya the Cave Woman's brain at that time included, among other things, the what we call this limbic system of the brain, the amygdala. That's the fight or flight brain. So Maya wakes up in the morning, she wipes the sweep out of her eyes, she gets out of the cave, and she sees this soothing body of water, and she goes, "I have neither language nor cognition, but that looks good. I'm diving in." Next morning, Maya gets up, wipes the sleep out of her eyes, comes out of the cave, and there's this big tusked beast. She goes, "I have neither language nor cognition, but I'm getting the hell out." And she flees, right? She senses danger. That part of our brain is still there. But where we are at today, the newest evolution of the human brain is in the prefrontal cortex, the gray matter. And it houses our executive functions. And what are the executive functions? They allow us, when our executive functions are firing in all pistons, we do things in a linear way. We are time managed. We are emotionally managed. Pretty much we don't have stuff in storage because A, we think we may need it someday, or B, Aunt Clara sewed the cushions on this couch. We've got to keep it. To me, that's emotional mismanagement because I live in Los Angeles County and it's the land of public storage. And I think the land of public storage is actually the land of emotional mismanagement. So here we have a brain that isn't hardwired toward linearity. And in order to do the tasks of household management, here's a I think an easy analogy for some people. Everybody has to do laundry. And laundry is one word to describe Five timed steps. Sort, wash, dry, fold, put away.
You can break those down even further yet.
So, if you have a lousy relationship with time, you may get to the sorting, and that might take a couple of days. You may get the clothes in the wash, but you find so many other things so interesting. That's the amygdala talking. Sometimes it's just cute kittens on Facebook, but it's also where your passions are, your art, your crafting, your gift with people. You know, the many gifts that you have that also enhance and exemplify the ADHD brain. Those gifts are shadowed by these other challenges with having a good relationship with time, or at least a timely relationship with time. When I
Absolutely.
walk into very crowded spaces, people will say, "How can I let this go? I love all of these things." And I had to think about that when I first started hearing it. And it's like, well, you didn't come out of the chute loving it. So it's something that developed along the way. It's a perspective. So I say, well, let's change our definition of love. Take it out of this context of I can't because of, and you're the one who actually put the definition on it. Another way to look at this is the things that we love are the things that we say we value. And I think, why do we value these things? We value them because we paid X dollar. We valued because Aunt Mary crocheted the cushions. There's value. We value when somebody says, "This was your grandfather's." Right there, value is assigned.
Well, I would even like go a step further and say it's with perception,
It's
because
all
our
personal.
perception is our reality, and if we
Girl,
perceive it as important, whether
cheers.
it's there. So the perception, like on top of that, because I perceive that since it's grandpa's and it's been in the family forever, that it's very important and therefore I should keep it. But what if
Absolutely.
I didn't have that perception?
I have had dozens of these conversations, if not hundreds. And you're the first person that I've spoken with ADHD who immediately understood how perception is such an integrated part of what we are doing, because I see the world through the lens of executive function and perception. I do. The only control that I have, so back up, I started my company 17 years ago. My company is called A Clear Path. We're located in Los Angeles and Orange County. So I started
And
A Clear
how, and what do
Path.
you do with your business?
That's all we need to know. So I started A Clear Path. I come out of higher education. I have a PhD in women's history, and now the PhD stands for piled higher and deeper. So I come out of my job at a university, and I was laid off. And just before my layoff, I was in Jerusalem visiting a good friend of mine. And while I was there, I said, "Nather, I don't want to be a tourist. How about if I do your kitchen?" And Nather said, "Habibti, what does that mean?" And I said, "Nather, your girls are in their 30s. You got sippy cups in the cupboard. Just let me do what I do." So I did what I did. And I get back to my desk. Job has been dismantled. 2 months into it, I told my roommate, "I'm going to organize until something better comes along." Nothing has. And that was almost 17 years ago. And I began noticing just a different kind of clutter. And when I started this journey, I've only read two self-help books. And one was Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. I love that book. And the other one was Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And the two big things I got from that book that I practice to this very day, one was whatever my mind can conceive and believe it will achieve. And I actually thought I made that up when I was working on my dissertation. And then I saw that he had written it in 1935. Anyway, I was going to trademark it. No. conceive it. And the other thing I got from that book is that the only control that I have, bar none, the only control in my life is my perception. I can only control my perception. I can't control your perception of me, your audience perception of this conversation. My perception is that I'm doing a pretty good job explaining how ADHD and clutter can align. But again,
I agree.
it's my perception. And that's what it's like I can control my own narrative. So when I look at clutter and I look at the things we say about it, I think I may need it someday. Well, let's identify someday if we can. Again, no hard and fast rules, but also come up with a plan that if you let it go and someday comes, you will not catastrophize the outcome. Instead, you already have a plan in place that you know who you could borrow it from. We're not letting go of things that cost us a lot of money to replace. Sometimes, yes, I get it. Generally speaking, though, we're not letting go of, if we let go of two toasters, we had three, we let go of two, and then the one that we keeps breaks. Toasters break. It's like,
See how uncomfortable that made
trust
me?
yourself. I know I just gave you chills. Well, I had two good ones.
I had two
Come up with your dollar threshold. I'm not kidding. Come up with some strategy to assuage your sense of anxiety for the letting go.
ones. All right.
Because if we call it clutter and it gives us agita on some level, then something's got to give. And it's the same thing with the things from the past. So we're holding on to the future, that which I may need someday. And then we're holding on to the past because of how it came into our life. We either purchased it, we spent a lot of money, we never use it, we feel like crap because now, like, oh, that's that negative head trash. You can't even make a purchase right. What's wrong with you that you did? You're so lazy, that's why you didn't use this exercise machine. Every day we see what we call the evidence of our failure.
Oh yeah.
I
And we've got the itty bitty shitty committee up there telling us about it to make sure that we know that we've
That we
got it
know.
right here.
There's a very funny YouTube video, Bob Newhart, and some of your audience is going to remember Bob Newhart. He had a sitcom in the 80s, and he played a psychiatrist. Well, in this 5-minute YouTube, Bob Newhart plays a psychiatrist, and it's called the Stop It video. It's hysterical, and it's a simple premise. Somebody sits down with him, I've got this problem. He goes, well, 5 minutes, $5, no refunds. And she goes, well, okay, that's weird. And she told him this problem. He goes, oh, well, if it's hurting you, just stop it. And she's like, what? You can't say that. So here we are, holding on to things which we think we may need someday, holding on to these things from the past. And what happens is because we have this fear of letting go of the future, fear of letting go of the past, we're in a world of hurt, of clutter in the present. So our perception is there's fear going out, letting go this way, and fear letting go behind us. Our perception is that there's pain involved somewhere. Another strategy is to do some chatting with friends or journaling or whatever on the word trust. Trust that you can't make a bad decision. Find a way to trust and honor your desire for cleared space. Trust that you will be able to get another toaster, even if you have to borrow one. I again, it's we hold on to things for such a variety of reasons.
And
And
what is the psychological, because you said there's a different kind of clutter with ADHD folks. And
well, I think this idea of emotional mismanagement.
it's really it's that emotional
It's all executive function.
dysregulation.
I Bart, I it's all okay. It's executive, it's nature and nurture. So if your executive functions are weak or compromised, and that can happen through birth, it can happen through a neurological illness, it can happen through major life transitions. People that are really on their game, I'm a very organized person, and 3 years ago I moved, and moving for a lot of people is just a very stressful thing. And I remember feeling a little confused because the boxes were everywhere, and we hadn't started getting picked up, and I'm moving around my place. Some folks who just are on their game, marriage, death, birth, divorce, cancer, COVID, can get them off their game for a while, but then when things settle in, they're moving through their lives as they always have. So it's executive function, but then life comes in. So I think of perfectly, people who are typically very organized, then they become caregiver for a parent. And the way they allow themselves to stay organized, now they've got a whole new way of being in that space, because there's this whole new layer of things that you need to pay attention to. So I look at this idea of our executive functions as very, it's not even misunderstood. We don't question why I can't move forward on this.
Right.
I know college and high school students, I've worked with them. They'll hear about the assignment in September. It's not due until May. It's not due until May 15th. They start it on May 12th.
That is a very it's time that time blindness, but it's also the time horizon, because your time horizon has to it has to hit that horizon or it doesn't even exist yet.
But what happens is from September 8th, when it was assigned, to May 12th, when it's executed, the student's been thinking about it a lot. And
Emotional
so I've
energy. Oh my
seen
gosh.
3 days of just nonstop writing a paper. They do A++ work. So again, they're.
And you think about how much emotional energy they spent just thinking about that,
Thinking about it.
having to get it done.
Yeah.
And we all know as ADHDers that it would be better if we got it done earlier or if we did a little bit at a time. We all know that. And we expend all of that energy during that time beating ourselves up also because we haven't been doing what we need to do. And then all of a sudden it hits our time horizon and then we can do it. So yeah, absolutely. And it's because the ADHD brain is motivated differently than the neurotypical brain. You know this, right? We got the urgency, the novelty, the challenge, or I can't remember the fourth one, but it's there. And if it's not present, we're not going to get things done. So do you When you do your organization type things, do you go in and organize, or do you go in and help the person organize?
It's both. You
Okay.
have to have your, you got to have your partner in crime here. It's not my stuff. So,
Right.
we talk about thought-filled work before anybody comes over. Meaning, stand in front of one of your piles and start mentally dissociating. Come up with, look at this pile, and it's like, what here is what you absolutely don't want anymore?
Mm.
If you could just have it removed. What here is a non-negotiable? It's never leaving you. And then we have the pile of ambivalence, which is usually the biggest pile of them all. But if you can get any kind of clarity on what absolutely can go, and clarity, this will never leave me. I have a rainbow set of peace flags in six different languages, seven different languages. And that set of flags was draped over a set of shrubs that my sister had placed when I walked onto my campsite at the Michigan Women's Festival. That was my campsite. Those flags will never leave me.
Okay,
That it's a non-negotiable. But there are other things here every now and again where it's like, oh, time to go. But never those.
Right, because those will never go.
They'll never go. So it's, and then when the organizers come over, everybody rolls up their sleeves and we tackle an area together. And everybody's different. Everybody's different. They all have different relationships to their space and their stuff. The two hardest parts, I think, to getting organized, really for anybody, well, for people with executive function challenges, I'll say that because of how significant our relationship to time and emotions are. The two most challenging parts of organizing are making the decisions about what to let go and then working on how to maintain your organized space. Because the very habits and behaviors and relationships that you have to your stuff and to your space, in order for you to maintain organized space, everything has to change. Habits,
All
behaviors,
nothing, black
everything, the
or
whole ball of
white,
wax.
everything.
Everything. So again, how does one do that? It's a process, but we also have to become aware of what that habit is because it's a habit. And habits are things that we could do blindfolded.
Sure, I can
So,
leave my dishes in the living room blindfolded, no problem.
that you what?
I can leave my dishes in the living room blindfolded, no problem.
Good habit.
Yeah,
Great.
great.
So I think once the space is cleared, once you're ready to start your maintenance, my first suggestion is over the next few days, few weeks, pretend you're a drone and just start hovering above you and around you. Just pay attention without judgment, without criticizing, because you and the organizer may say, okay, this is the best place for the mail before I can get to it. Because paper is a, this is the best place for the mail. For 3 or 6 weeks, you put your mail there. And then one day you don't. And that's the day you say, I'm so interesting. What was happening that I didn't put the mail there? Because I know that's where I want it. And then you go, oh, I had to go to the bathroom. Oh, the phone was ringing. Lighten the hell up on yourself. Don't label, judge, or resent. And be curious. Just be curious.
So if you ever listen, because the way you responded to perception, I'm going to respond to curiosity, because my world, like I approach everything with curiosity.
No
I've
doubt.
embraced curiosity in my life rather than anger. Other things that you can approach things with, I approach with curiosity,
Love
fear, those types of things. So when you say that, it just definitely rings true, because curiosity is a portion of my life that I really feel strongly about.
that. But I also see it as one of the significant or cool hallmarks of somebody with ADHD. An insatiable curiosity to do beautiful art, you know what I mean? There's so much that is interesting. Truly, whenever I get a call from somebody who's a crafter, and I'm like, oh, okay, because there's a lot of stuff that accompanies crafting. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can
So
attest to that.
there you go. I love that tie-dye behind you.
Oh, thank you. I sewed that.
There you go. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank
Great
you.
colors, very vibrant.
Well, when you talk about the emotional connection to things and stuff like that, and being stuck in the past or stuck in the future or whatever, it kind of goes back to that time blindness thing as far as things that happened in the past feel the same as if they happened yesterday, but they also feel like they happened 100 years ago. It's very hard for, so like if I got a gift from somebody that I met 20 years ago and I haven't spoken to that person since then, when I look at that object, that could have been yesterday. And so my emotions feel like
Brought
that's,
back. Yeah.
I don't want to get rid of it, even though I've never talked to the person again.
Yeah.
Then, there's other things where into the future, if I'm going to keep this forever, forever is a very, very long time, or
Yeah.
it's next week.
Right. Yeah. There is no sense of time. There's not an internal clock. The
Yes.
internal clock is sometimes really busted. So
Yeah.
people feel that the time challenges. One of my big suggestions is every room that you're in, put one or two analog clocks and habituate looking at it.
I do the same.
Because what do we know? We visibly see the passage of time. Right now, Pacific time, it's 2:36. There's nothing here to indicate that we are almost 40 minutes into the hour. I know it
Right.
because I can read the numbers, but I can't see it. And that not having low visibility when it comes to your relationship with time is also it's I think I see the emotional mismanagement, if you will. Or so that your emotional relationships to stuff and to space, and your relationship to time. I think those two components of the executive functions, when they're hampered, you will have clutter.
And I myself have gotten a lot better with my clutter over the years. However, I think it's because my husband too also has ADHD, and his clutter overpowers my clutter. And so I got into this weird little cycle where I purge all the time, but the only thing I purge is my stuff. And I've pretty much run out of things to purge.
Well, start on his side of the closet then.
Well, I'm like, okay, we're gonna go through the
I
closet, we're
don't
gonna see.
advocate that.
Because it's like a dude, but so yeah, I can go the other way too, where you're just like purging and all of a sudden you're like looking around going, I don't have anything to get rid of anymore. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But and the truth of the matter is, if somebody put a gun to my head and said, you need to get rid of, at least 50% of your stuff, I could find 50% of my stuff to get rid of.
You're good right now.
Yeah, I'm good. So well, we are getting close to the end of our time, and I always like to ask my new guests at least one question at the end to just get that last perspective in. And so my question for you today is, if you were to be able to give a person with ADHD, I don't even know if it would be advice, it necessarily, a nugget of knowledge that might give them some hope for clearing that clutter in their life, what would that be?
Know thy brain.
Tell me
Really
more.
become better friends with the functioning of your brain, because it'll probably help you understand things a little better about why you move through life. Also, delegate. Delegate anything you don't want to do. And you will find you could do it in trade. You can reciprocal. Whatever, but consider become a better friend of the art and practice of delegation. Yeah. and trust that you're making the right decision of who's going to do the delegating.
That's a good one. And so, like, what if you're trying to delegate to somebody who doesn't really want to be delegated to?
And that is not the right person.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
when you delegate, you're going to be very careful about the person that you choose, right?
I'm not. I'm a very trusting person.
Okay.
So I don't have ADHD, but I just don't want to do certain things.
Oh, I get
When I
it.
started my company, I did everything. What was the first thing I delegated? Bookkeeping. And so my former partner, did bookkeeping for me. The next thing I delegated was social media. And so I found a student in a media class at the Adult Education Center.
Nice.
I'm scrappy and I'm resourceful. And so I don't ask a lot of questions. I just fling it out there. This is what I want. So no, I'm not careful. I'm never gonna die by a bad delegation. So
I suppose.
stakes are pretty low.
I guess because, like, I know myself, I worry. So like, I'm a pretty dependable person, right? But I know that things slip. So like, if I was to delegate to somebody else, when I say be careful, I mean, there are people who forget. Yeah, I've gotten better at delegating. Well, when I was an administrator in
Oh, yeah.
education, I got a lot better at delegating. It was
You have
like,
to. Yeah,
yeah.
you have to.
Yeah, because I spent 30 years in education before I did this, so yeah.
When were you diagnosed with ADHD?
When I was 50, I'm 55 now. So
So you
not
were an administrator for 30 years?
I was okay, so I was a special education teacher for 22 to 24 years. Then I was a department head, and then I became a central office administrator in special education. So I was the coordinator for special ed for a Class A high school or district with 27 schools. And yeah, all without knowing I had ADHD.
Yeah, and that's, I know I work with a lot of really smart professional women who have done some incredible things, but they learned the art and practice of delegation along the way. And they did what they were best suited for, and they were able to delegate all those other tasks that they weren't without apology.
Absolutely. And
Yeah.
it became very important to be able to do that.
Yeah, good on you.
Well, I want to say this has been a great conversation,
Yeah.
Regina. I
Thank
have
you.
enjoyed speaking with you so much. If you have any last minute things you want to throw in there, you can throw them in now or we'll
Yeah, we're
close
good.
up.
Because I could talk about this forever.
Yeah, I might just see if you're interested in coming on again, because I think that
Sure.
we could have some good conversations. But in the meantime, hopefully all of our butterflies on the wall have been listening and enjoy what we've been doing, and they want to subscribe and do all the good stuff and come back and hear more. So in the meantime, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Janine. This is
Thank
lovely.
you.
Okay.